642, page 642, that passage we had read from Proverbs as we continue in our series in Solomon's Book of Wisdom. But I wonder whether we see this book, not just the Bible, but Proverbs also, as a good thing. I wonder how good we see it to be. I'm sure we can imagine the scene when a film is shown for the first time. It might be, the latest Star Wars film or the next in the Harry Potter series or whatever it might be. Or the first of the new iPhones come out. I don't know what the latest iPhone is, but I'm sure there'll be another iPhone coming out in the next few years. Or maybe your thing is more the New Year sales and the bargain hunting that people go for. That image of people waiting at the doors and queuing not just at the door but round the corner and round the street, or sleeping out in a sleeping bag, or even camping for days just to get that first watch of the film, or to get that first iPhone, or to get the best bargain in the sale. See, they value the film or the iPhone or the sale so much, they wait at the doors. Now that's the image that we're given of the wisdom of Proverbs. Have a look at verse 34. See, Proverbs says, wisdom is so good. Blessed is the man who watches daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Here is something that is much better than the next iPhone, the next film, the next bargains, whatever it might be that we'd love to camp out for. Wisdom is so good. And we see in these early chapters of Proverbs that she's personified, and she describes herself as better than silver or gold, better than precious stones. Why? How can she say that she is that good? Verse 35 tells us, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. It's the most amazing claim, isn't it? That the words of this book of Proverbs bring life, favor, grace from the Lord, acceptance with the Lord. That the words of this book, the whole of Scripture, bring life, God's kindness to us. It's the most amazing claim. And if it's true, wouldn't we be waiting at the doors of wisdom? Because it brings such goodness. She brings such blessing and life, the Lord's favor, into our lives. Now, just to recap where we've got to so far in our series in Proverbs, we've been seeing how wisdom is how to live with the grain of creation, rather than against the grain of the way God has made all things. It's living in the real world, in reality. And we've seen that the beginning of wisdom is to fear God, not only to acknowledge his existence, but to fear him, to live recognizing that he is vast in his goodness, vast in his value to us. And we've also seen how wisdom is a path. It's not a door. It's not a one-off. We get wisdom. No, it's a way of life. It's a path we walk. And this morning we're urged to listen to wisdom in three ways, because our natural reaction is not to listen to wisdom. That's going on all the time, isn't it, in the book of Proverbs. She's begging us. She's pleading with us. Listen to me. I have such goodness for you. Don't ignore what I say. Which suggests that we're quite good at ignoring and not following what she says. And I recognise that in my own life, and I'm sure we all do. So here's the first point. Listen carefully to wisdom and find life. Listen carefully to wisdom and find life. Verse 32. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep to my ways. It's not intellectual knowledge. It's not knowledge that we have stored away in our heads. It's a practical way of life that we are to keep. So wisdom says we're to listen in such a way as that we keep to her ways. Because there's a temptation to abandon her ways, to walk in other paths. We can know plenty of stuff in our heads, can't we? But we are to behave in the way that wisdom directs. We're not to ignore her. So verse 33, listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. So blessing comes to the person who listens carefully to wisdom, who does not ignore it, who watches at her doors daily, who seeks to keep her path. A bit like Leicester City. I guess all illustrations at the moment have to have some kind of Leicester City component to them, don't they? You know, Leicester City, that wonderful team that the fairy tale, but they listen to their coach, Claudio Ranieri, and new success. Jesus said in his teaching to listen carefully to what he said and to put it into practice. So in Mark 4, he says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more. It's like if we come with big ears, a soul full, wanting to be filled by what Jesus has to teach us. He will fill us and then some. But if we come with little ears, or hardly an ability to hear, we won't receive very much. And wisdom explains why this is so in verse 35. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favour from the Lord. Isn't that a mouth-watering prospect? Favour from the Lord, the Lord's kindness, life. The word translated favour is the word that is translated acceptance in other parts of the Old Testament. For those of you who take notes, it's Exodus 28:38. So we're encouraged here to find a wisdom because it enables us to find life. And that life is acceptance with God. Acceptance with the Lord. So not listening means we don't find wisdom, we don't find life, we don't find acceptance with the Lord. Now, the danger at this point is, I think we say to ourselves, it can't be this way. We've just heard wonderfully explained, and simply by Duncan, that we are saved, we are accepted by the Lord entirely by God's grace, just by trusting in what God has done. And of course that is true. Jesus taught that more clearly than anyone. And yet he also teaches us to listen carefully. Why? So we're encouraged to listen to God's word, to read the Bible. We can think, oh, it's just such hard work. It's challenging. Why is it this way? Well, do you remember the riots when supermarkets were giving away flat screen TVs? Don't know when that was. It was last year sometime. Or a few years ago, IKEA was opening a new store in North London and they were giving away sofas. And people were there in their droves because it was free. But they had to get there. They had to jostle through the crowd. It may not have been comfortable, but something was free. It was just going to be given to them. Now, they knew that the world didn't work in this way, that somehow sofas would float down out of the sky and widescreen TVs would suddenly sort of just appear. That's not how it worked. They knew they had to go and receive the gift. See, even the free offer of salvation through Jesus Christ, has a way of being received. If they just sat at home, they never would have received the sofa or the flat screen TV. If we don't listen, we won't receive God's favour and grace, because it comes through his word. The living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one we must come to receive the free gift. And he brings us himself through his words. See, forgiveness from God and acceptance with God does not just fall from the sky. Salvation came in a man who came from heaven to earth and spoke human words. And it's as we hear those human words that we are given the most precious, wonderful gift. Isn't it the most precious, wonderful gift of acceptance with God. Those of us here this morning who know that. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful gift? But how did you receive it? Didn't you receive it by hearing some words from the Bible preached, or hearing from the Bible words as you read them? This is how we receive favor from God. You see, the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, that he has come into the world, lived a perfect life, fully God and fully man. He died on a cross for people like you and me. He took the punishment we deserve. He was made to look foolish and weak so that we can be given the strength of eternal life. It's the only way that people like you and me can be right with God and acceptable to God. Jesus was very clear, it cannot happen any other way. It's foolish to think that we can be forgiven without Jesus Christ and the words he spoke and understanding the words he spoke. If we want to be right with God, the way we receive the gift of God's favor and acceptance and grace is by listening and carefully understanding his words. So maybe we're just investigating the Christian faith here this morning, and you're intrigued by Jesus. You're wanting to find out more about him. And can I say, we're delighted that you are here. Fordham is a place where anybody can find out about Jesus Christ, the words he spoke, and understand his claims and the offer he gives us of a free gift of life. But it happens by hearing his words. Acceptance with God doesn't happen without him and his words. He made that very, very clear. So I'm afraid you have a choice this morning. You could leave us and mull over some of the words you've heard, or you could come back and hear more of his words and hear his wisdom and listen carefully to them. Start a path of following him and his wisdom. See, Jesus taught that yes, we are those who are right with God by trusting in him, but that gift is received by us by listening. And maybe as Christians here this morning, we just need to be reminded of how we came to receive that gift. It was through hearing, wasn't it? It was through listening. We know that when we read the Bible for the first time, I can remember that, and how Jesus seemed to walk off the page of the Bible, or how somebody explain to me how I could respond to Jesus Christ and what he had done. It was through the words of Jesus. And if we want to grow in grace, yes, grace, God's favor, God's blessing, his kindness, a free gift, it's not without listening. It can't be. It didn't start that way. It won't carry on that way. So can I encourage us and myself to listen to wisdom? God has not changed the way he works in the world. So that's the first point. Listen carefully to wisdom and find life. Our second point, wisdom pleads with everyone to listen. Because we might be saying, well, that's just for you, John. You know, that's the way your brain works. That's how you came to know Christ. That's not for everyone. Wisdom says no. Chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights along the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand beside the gates leading into the city. At the entrances, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. No one is excluded from this. We all need wisdom. We all need to learn to fear the Lord, to be humble, to receive the grace of God. And it happens through the words of the Bible, the words of God's wisdom, Solomon's wisdom and Jesus' wisdom. She cries out in public, we might say today. She cries out at the bus stops and the railway stations, the town centres, the law courts, the parliament. Everyone needs to hear her words. Because if people don't find her, they won't find life. If they don't listen to her words, they won't know life. And maybe we're Christians here this morning, we think, well, yeah, I know I'm accepted by God, I know his favour, but do we need to grow in wisdom? Verse 7 of chapter 8, she detests wickedness. I've still got a long way to go on that one, haven't you? Verse 13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Do you ever sense pride and arrogance in your heart? Verse 14, she has counsel and sound judgment. Do we need that? Verse 20, she walks in righteousness. Do we need to grow in that? See, she pleads with all mankind. There is no one excluded from this need for wisdom. She pleads. Imagine there was a fire in a building and we knew that friends and family and acquaintances were facing the furnace. Would we not plead with them to come out? Save yourselves from the fire. Come out of the building. And so when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost, Peter, filled by the Spirit, the church begins. He preaches. And what does he preach? He preaches that Jesus is the Christ, that they need to repent. They need to receive God's favor. But with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Now, he doesn't mean save yourselves as if they can save themselves. What he means is respond. Hear. Turn away from living for yourself and trust in Jesus Christ, because that is the only way we can be forgiven. The only way that we can receive the Holy Spirit is not about trying our best and then hoping our good deeds will weigh out our bad deeds. Jesus never taught that. Wisdom pleads with people to be wise and to know life and forgiveness and authoritative power in the preaching. So maybe you might be thinking, John, you're getting a bit enthusiastic. That's very un-British. It's not really appropriate in church. Is it not here written that it is wise to plead with people that they find wisdom and life and favour, acceptance with God? My job in preaching is it not to plead with us all? Because we naturally do not want to keep God's wisdom. We naturally prefer folly and death. And if the Lord Jesus saves people like you and me from hell for heaven, can I say that dispassionately? You know, take it or leave it. Would that not deny any kind of love for anybody here to say dispassionately, well, you know, it's up to you, just think it through. Or would I not plead? And this is the wisdom of Jesus and the apostles, because Paul says Jews demand miraculous signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. It's the only way to know life. It is wise to plead. Not to be emotionalistic or to indulge in emotionalism. I know that. But we should plead with people, shouldn't we? Not least from the pulpit, but also personally. You see, wisdom raises her voice. She preaches in the public sphere, but she also prepares table. So if we're wanting others to know the wisdom of God, there's two things that need to happen if we're a wise church. One is I prepare to preach. The other is we all prepare to be hospitable. Wisdom has built her house. Chapter 9, verse 1. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She says to those who lack judgment, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. So it's no surprise when wisdom personified in the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world, he not only preaches and says that that's why he was sent, to preach. When he wants his disciples to understand deeply and fully who he is and what he's going to do on the cross, he explains it at a supper, at a meal, and he explains the Trinity, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the way of love, the Lord's Supper. Celebrated at the Last Supper, a meal. And Jesus prepared. He sent his disciples on ahead, didn't he? He arranges the venue. He explains to his disciples the meaning of his death over supper. This is wisdom at work. The disciples ask questions of him and they grow in their understanding of him. He says things like, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to educate myself about the the small matter of the referendum coming up. I don't know, has anybody noticed that there's something coming up? There's a vote. And I was watching a programme about the EU and how the agreement between, I think I've got this right, Ted Heath and Georges Pompidou, because they'd had a falling out, and there was a natural hostility. How was it that they overcame that natural hostility? How was it that they reached harmony and led to a decision to take us into the European community? Well, they put a lot of time and trouble into the food and the wine. It was planned down to the last detail. And as they eulogised about the food and as the bonhomie flowed, so the decision was made. Wisdom. Well, it doesn't matter really what we think of that particular decision. That's not my point. Wisdom was used. When I came to faith, I had so much to learn. I was hungry to learn about the new Christian faith that I'd come to know. And the man who had led me to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ invited me over once a week as a student to read the Bible one-to-one. Why do you think I went? Toast and jam. It's just wise. How were you drawn to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Was it only reading the Bible for yourself and hearing sermons, or did not people come alongside you and show you a welcome and give you opportunity to ask questions, maybe even have something better than toast and jam, I don't know. And if we have a glorious message to share with people to talk about, will we be hospitable like our Master? Such a joy, isn't it, to have people round and to find yourself talking about the Christian faith, knowing that that's the first time they've ever spoken to anybody about it, because they clearly don't know very much. And isn't it a joy to gather together in each other's homes over food, and yes, maybe wine, but to talk about what we're learning from God's wisdom, or sharing struggles over a coffee at Costa, whatever it might be. This is the wise way to gain wisdom and to enable others to grow in wisdom. But we might say, well, I'm the kind of person, I'm just so socially inept that I can't hold a conversation for more than about 30 seconds. Well, Proverbs is about growing in that wisdom. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws him out. Have we learned how to ask people questions so that we draw them out and find out about them and find out what they believe in and what they think about Jesus? He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. Are we the kind of people who talk so much that we invite people round and we're just yabba, yabba, yabba? They never get a chance to talk themselves. That's folly. They're not going to listen to our wisdom if we don't listen and understand them. The tongue of the wise brings healing. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. Do you not want to win souls? To be there with you in glory? Rather than foolishly following a path that leads to eternal death. And just in case we think, well, Proverbs doesn't teach that, does it? Well, there's a warning here, and our final point, very quickly. See, wisdom pleads with everyone to listen, and it does that around the meal table, but also listen to folly, and you'll find death. See, the question of listening to wisdom or folly is not an academic question. 8, verse 36, whoever fails to find me, says wisdom, harms himself. All who hate me love death. And it's not just physical death. Proverbs makes that clear. It is the death that is the end of the wicked. The death that ends in Sheol. So chapter 9, verse 16. In which folly cries out exactly the same thing as wisdom. Let all who are simple come in here. That's exactly what wisdom says. She's just lying. Folly calls out exactly the same thing. And she deceives people. We are easily tricked. And the result... people are easily tricked. The result, verse 18, little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Hades. So no wonder wisdom pleads. No wonder she does all she can to urge people to listen carefully. because eternal life and eternal death are at stake. And if we're Christians here this morning, we have all we need in Jesus. He is our wisdom, and he can strengthen us so others walk the way of righteousness. So let's do that, shall we? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you are wisdom from God. We thank you that you are our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. So may we boast in you. May I boast in you from the pulpit. May I plead with people. Maybe all do what we can to bring people to hear of your wisdom. Help us, Lord, with the hard work it may often be to be hospitable. But may we be those who draw others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw others to him so they may be wise and live. Amen.